Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast in that name which is above every name, the wonderful, beautiful, glorious name of our soon-coming King, Jesus. And on yesterday's broadcast, I began sharing some, I want to share some teaching, and we just began, on the barren fig tree, a parable that Jesus related, found in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 6 through 9. And as, just by a way of brief recap, it's important to understand the context. And Jesus was making reference to some current events of his day, some Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, and then in Jerusalem there were 18 people that were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell. And he's asking, do you suppose they were worse sinners than everybody else? And he said, no, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise also perish. So there is some stern warnings that we need to hear. You know, it's wonderful to preach about the love of God, and there's no greater reality than that, because it was God's great love. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whomsoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So God's love is paramount. He has done everything he possibly could to restore man to fellowship, satisfying his great love as well as his mercy and also his judgment. He's a holy God who will not tolerate sin or rebellion. And so, beloved, we have an awesome responsibility as the children of God to walk in a way that's pleasing to our Lord and to share the message, the good news of the gospel, before it's everlastingly too late. We have a choice. God will not countermand man's free will. Like the angels, we have a free choice. They, however, once they chose to align themselves with Lucifer, who was perfect in beauty until the day that iniquity was found in him, they were cast out of heaven forever from the presence of God, and hell is prepared for him, his unholy angels, and for all those who will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest sin. God forgives all manner of wickedness and evil, but the greatest is refusing the salvation that has been so freely offered. At any rate, we're looking at the context of this, and he's talking about repentance. He talks about a fig tree, and the fig tree symbolizes the nation of Israel in Scripture. He was basically saying in this parable that if it did not produce fruit, the owner said, cut it down. And we see here that Jesus in this parable took this thought one step further, that if you're a barren tree and you should be bearing figs or fruit, judgment will come on those who do not repent. He said that fruit must be present. Now, in Matthew, the third chapter, verses 7 through 10, let's hear what John the Baptist had to say. But when he saw, this is referring to John, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Those are some very powerful words. Let me read now for you Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I want to read verses 15 through 21. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, listen to the words of Jesus, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but corrupt trees bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. That's good to understand in terms of our discernment. Not everyone, he concludes, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I can't stop reading, because this is, to me, one of the most frightening verses in the New Testament. These are the words of Jesus, too. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we now prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Some very powerful words from the very lips of Jesus. And so it's not just what we say, it's what we do. It's the kind of fruit that we produce in our lives. And so the importance of this time of sharing is to find out, what does it mean to have fruit? There's another parable in Luke, the 8th chapter, that's recorded, the parable of the sower. And verse 15 says, but that, and these again the words of Jesus, but that on the good ground are they which is in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And beloved, it's not just saying the words. There has to be, it has to come from the heart. Anybody can just say words and have no conviction or no belief behind it. That's not what is meant when we talk about confessing Jesus as Savior and Lord. There has to be a visible change seen in the life of one who claims to be saved. If there's no visible change, then that person, like the figless fig tree, is judged. In other words, it's not just our words, it's our conviction. Because if we really mean what we're saying, if we really have repented, what does that mean? It means to turn around, to make 180-degree turn from the way we thought, the way we acted. Does that mean we're perfect? Does that mean we don't continue to sin? We will fall. God knew that. But if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness, all unrighteousness. That's what the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle John to write. Now, again, we've been looking at this in context that the fig tree is Israel, but of course there's much broader application. But in terms of the immediate context, God had been so gracious to Israel throughout the years, despite their rebellion and despite their failure to bring forth the fruits of righteousness. Then, when they were worthy of death, he sent forth his son, Jesus, and with his son, an opportunity for the people to repent of their sin. And God is gracious. He's not rejected his people, Israel. He hasn't replaced Israel with the church. That's my conviction. And there's a remnant that are going to be saved. God will, in the final times, when the fullness of the times of the Gentiles has been completed, then God will deal with Israel and those that call upon the name of the Lord, those who will say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, they will be saved. And Israel, as a nation, even to this day, even those that are not saved, when you look at the Jewish nation, my goodness, how many wonderful scientists and artists and musicians have come out of this nation. They have been leaders in every field, in the field of commerce, economics. They've been favored. They were taken out of barren Egypt historically. They were planted by the hand of God in fertile Canaan. They were given all the care and protection that divine wisdom and power could bestow. But the heart of him who planted Israel was grieved and disappointed. For 3 years, God in Christ sought fruit and found none. And by that, of course, we can relate that to his public ministry. Jesus had approximately 3 years in which he ministered to the children of Israel. Remember, he said the Syrophoenician woman, when she was asking for deliverance for her daughter, he said, I've come just to the house of Israel. And she said, true, Lord, but even the dogs, referring to the little puppy dogs of the Gentiles, eat the crumbs from their master's table. And so, of course, he then extended grace and mercy to her, and her daughter was totally delivered. So in this parable, we see the dresser of the vineyard as the Lord Jesus himself. He was portraying his ministry as a great high priest and intercessor. Even on the cross, our compassionate Savior interceded for those who had condemned him to death. He cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so Israel was spared for a season to receive the digging of his teachings and proofs of his resurrection, yet a good many remained in unbelief, and they were cut off. Let me share Romans 11 through 13. I'm going to read verse 13 and a little bit onward. 11 and 13 says, For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For he's talking about the Jewish people. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. He's talking to the Gentiles, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Well, my time is gone. And what we're going to be doing tomorrow is we're going to be finding some important lessons for every believer, not as it relates to Israel, but to us. I hope you can be with us. The announcer will give you our contact information. Thank you for joining me today, and thank you for your prayers and financial help. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,